Heidi and Frank show live from the Morongo Casino Studios. Let's get John Tapper in here, the guy that makes it more fun to drink outside your home than sitting on your couch with a glass of scotch. Hello, John.
Hi, John Tapper.
Hey, guys. How are you?
We're good
to see you, man.
Live and in person. There he is.
The show Bar Rescue is one of Spike's huge hits.
It is.
I remember when I was watching like Kitchen Nightmares, and this is before you started your Bar Rescue show. I'm like, there needs to be a show about bars, because I've been to plenty of bars. I'm like, there's some bars that need to be fixed.
I mean,
they were nightmare bars. And then the show started. I was like, finally, I'm glad somebody did this.
Well, I said obviously the same thing.
Right.
Yeah.
You just
beat me to
it.
Yeah.
I mean, everybody does have that story of, oh, you know what? That place would be really great, but the margaritas are awful. They're mixed, and they claim to be from scratch. Or, I mean, everybody has a complaint about a bar.
And we all relate to bars, don't we? At some point in our
lives. Some of us too much.
Mm-hmm. Right. I hear you. I hear you, Heidi.
Well, yeah. Well, you know, here's the thing about your show. It's like, you know, obviously you're the host star, the bar consultant, but your wife is also involved. She's on the show for marketing, Bar Recon. Your daughter's on the show
as well. It's a family affair.
Did you always want your daughter to get in the bar business, or just have?
Well, you know, it's funny. My daughter evolved into the bar business,
yeah.
And I didn't want her to, because she wants to get married, have kids, you know, have a 9-to-5 type of existence. But now she's a bar manager in the city she went to college in, and following in my footsteps. I really can't change evolution, can you? But she's really into it, and she's good at it. So when I did the show, how cool is it as a dad to be able to put your daughter on your own TV show?
Yeah.
That is
so
great.
She did a couple episodes. The problem is when they spy for me, now that people have seen them on TV, they get recognized.
Yeah.
So she's busted now. She can't do it anymore.
She has to go in disguise.
I don't recall what bar you were in, but I remember the episode where you went under the bar and looked at, like, the foundation.
Oh, yeah.
And you came upstairs, and you're like, everybody get out! Like, we're all going to die if you don't move now!
It was incredible. We were doing this bar, and we had an engineer come in because the floor was buckling in the center. And the guy's underneath with me, and you didn't see him on camera, but he says, you guys got to get the heck out of this building. The thing's going to cave in.
Oh, no.
And then it did, and we had to shut down production for a week and put in all of these joists, I think 34 of them.
Yeah, was that the biggest job you had to do? I mean, for any particular bar?
There's one coming up this season, which was really good. I'm really proud of, guys. We did a hurricane bar on Long Island in Rockaway Beach.
Oh, yeah. Oh, you know what? I heard about that
Sandy.
One. Yeah.
And it hasn't aired yet, but it took us a week to do the remodel. Normally, we do them in 36 hours.
Right.
And it was really touching, man. I really cried at the end of this when we revealed it to this family. And you know, Rockaway Beach has been devastated.
Right. So
was it a family-owned thing they've had for years?
Irish brothers, five New York Irish guys. Talk about color, man. It was unbelievable.
Yeah.
These
right.
guys were really fun.
Yeah, sort of bring them back to normal a little bit. Yeah,
so it really meant a lot to the town to be able to do it, but it's really cool.
I feel bad for the people at the other bar that you're talking about where the floor is buckling. It's like, you weren't as drunk as you thought you were. You're just walking around. It's just a bad floor. You're like,
exactly.
What is happening, man? I feel like I'm going to fall down.
That was the classic story you were talking about, Heidi. Two college kids, two frat brothers, decide they're going to open a bar.
Yeah.
So they open a bar. $200,000 in debt later, they say, oh, what did we do?
Because
they're just drinking all night long.
Right.
So,
we have no idea what we're doing. That was my dad owned a bar, too. I grew up in Indiana. And that was the thing. It's like, you can't really drink if you want to be a good bar owner, because you got to stay on top of it. Well, that's where my dad was.
That part
he wasn't so good at.
I often say if you're into drugs, you probably shouldn't be a pharmacist, right? Same thing.
Yeah. If you really like alcohol, don't own a bar. Bad idea.
John Tapper hanging out with us from Spike TV's Bar Rescue. Season 4 just got picked up. Congratulations on that.
Thank you.
You also, Spike loves you. They picked up your pilot, The Hungry Investor. What's this all about?
Hungry Investor is really fun. It's myself and two business partners have a bunch of money to invest. So we travel around the country looking for diamonds in the rough. So
how do you
feel
about the Heidi and Frank show?
Yeah, I think it is definitely a diamond in the rough.
But not about the rough. It's rough.
A diamond in a smooth. How's that?
So you find, like, you go to one city and you look at the three worst restaurants in the city and pick the one to invest in?
The concept is we're really good at what we do, so we could buy a failing business, pay very little for it, and turn it around.
Ah.
So in the first episode, for example, we decide, okay, let's invest in burgers. Right, one of the most popular foods. So
sure.
We find two great burger places that are failing. One has an unbelievable burger, I mean, to die for, but a terrible location. The other has a decent burger, but a killer location.
Okay.
So we got to weigh these. figure these out. Then one partner wants one deal, another partner wants another deal, and it's all real in real time, as Bar Rescue is. And it's rather than dealing with the negatives in Bar Rescue, this one sort of deals with the positives.
Hmm.
Yeah, there's a bar that I know of that's it's been remodeled. Great bar. Location, though, as like I said, how important as far as location? I mean, it has really no curb appeal. I mean, when I'm telling people I go to this bar, I'm like, hey, meet me here. Where is it? And they have a very hard time finding it. But you get in there, and you're like, this place is awesome. And I was asking the bar owner, I was like, so how's business going? He's like, well, it's not going that well. And he's trying to blame other businesses, other bars in the area. And I'm like, is it the location, possibly, the worst thing going for this guy?
Well, it could be. You know, in Bar Rescue, we often do traffic counts.
Yeah.
Frank was saying, 22,000 cars a day drive by. When you're on a street that only 2,000 cars a day drive by, I mean, that's a real issue.
You're hoping for 2,000 people who like to drink.
Yeah, exactly
come
right.
On,
but
come on.
When there's no cars, you're invisible, Heidi.
Yeah.
So when you're invisible, I mean, who's going to come
see? No matter
see
how
you?
Good you are, no one knows about you.
So the only way people are going to find out about him is by advertising a word of mouth. That can take a long time.
Yeah.
And I'm guessing he doesn't have a lot of money for advertising.
Or you can get one of these guys out front, right?
Yeah. Or how about 10 girls out front? Scantily clad women standing out front, but you still need cars driving by.
Yeah.
But no, there's plenty of cars. It's like, right, it's in like a mini mall. So you got like parking. I mean, there's cars going by all the time, but it's where like the corner of the mini mall comes together, then down a long hallway,
oh,
and then
God.
there's the door, and so it's like it used to be called the corner bar because it was easy to say, where is it? It's at the corner. That's why they named it that. So give it basically the directions. But now it's named, you know, it's called the Dirty Bull. Great bar, beers. I mean, they have, you know, darts. I mean, is this set up perfectly? Sports.
Here's the solution.
But a bad location.
Are there parking spaces close to the road? Tell him to get window visors with his logo on them and line up the employee cars facing the highway or the road in front. And he can get a sign facing the street. And one car can have the name of the bar. The next one can say, make left here. And the city can't stop you because it's not a permanent sign.
Right.
So just print window visors, position cars properly in a parking lot, and do it that way.
John Taffer, everybody.
All right. I'm going to tell him that.
Dirty Bull.
That's a good solution.
Thank you, dude.
Look at that.
As far as, like, you did dimples in Burbank?
We did dimples in Burbank, and they've been tweeting all the time. They just broke another record last week, so we're really proud of
that. Oh, we've had some good times at dimples.
Oh, my God, yeah.
And then our premiere episode last season, Spirits on Bourbon, we put in a barbershop chair. I don't know if you saw that one. This barbershop chair is doing $40,000 a month.
Oh my God.
In just shots. So if you sit in a chair, a beautiful girl pours a shot down your throat. If you sit in a chair, a guy pours a shot down your throat. And it's been a really huge success. Their sales are up over $100,000 a month.
Is that something that you had done in the past? Or you just
years ago, I did one in another bar.
And with dimples, you're like, this would be perfect.
Not dimples. We did it in a place called Spirits on Bourbon Street.
Spirits on Bourbon Street.
Because as you walk by on Bourbon Street, it's spontaneous. You suddenly say,
like, oh, let's go in here. Yeah,
I'm going to take a picture in a chair.
Come on, we're here.
Yeah.
So it's been working
out. You sort of do have to have some sort of novelty, right? Or something.
Bourbon Street,
something that's going to set you apart.
Well, even there, you got 57 bars in two blocks. So, you know, even when they're out there, you still got to
be Frank's heaven.
You got to be good at what you
do. I'm surprised you haven't
John
moved
Taffer
there.
From Bar Rescue hanging out with us, and also from the new show, going to be The Hungry Investor. Definitely watch that. I saw this story out of Trenton, New Jersey. It says, at one bar, a mixture that included rubbing alcohol and caramel-colored coloring was sold as scotch.
Oh, no.
In another, premium liquor bottles were refilled with water, and sometimes not even clean water at that. As far as, like, going into these bar rescues, have you busted bar owners doing the top shelf with water and coloring?
You know, it's something you don't see very often, I got to tell you. But we just shot an episode, coincidentally, Frank, where that happened. And it was in North Carolina, and they put tax seals on a bottle in North Carolina.
Mm-hmm.
And when I got to the bar, there was scotch tape over the seal. Now, the only reason why that would be is because the seal wears out when you use the bottle.
Yeah.
So the only reason why you put tape over it is to refill the bottle without the seal wearing out.
Uh-huh.
So when I saw that, I got a device called a hydrometer, and I was using gin. And the bottle that the product was in was 95 proof. So I drop a hydrometer in the bottle, which checks the proof, and the proof of the product in the bottle was 80 proof, which is Barwell gin.
Yeah.
And busted him on the air on it.
Good.
I don't mess around with that
stuff.
No, I mean, there's got to be, I mean, obviously, you doing this for so long and being an expert in your field, there's got to be that respect for the game. Where it's
I'm
like,
offended
you know,
by that stuff. Yeah, just so, like you guys would be for bad radio.
Yeah.
You know?
Right.
Get out.
No, yeah.
I'm
I called him on it on the air. No, I'm kidding. I love you, man.
But you hear what I'm saying, man. It's offensive.
Radio rescue.
No, seriously. I mean, that's what I was thinking. It's like when somebody gets busted like this, I mean, that's just the lowest you could possibly go as a bar owner.
Also, when they mistreat employees, you know, I'll get really angry about that. There's a lot of stuff that'll get me angry. I take it personally.
Right, because, I mean,
my business.
We've done the behind the bars as, you know, sort of a novelty, going to certain restaurants and going, hey, we're going to be serving you and going, it's a hard job. And we're not even dealing with credit cards and money.
I used to be a bartender. I used to be a bartender at rib joint, yeah.
Yeah, when you got a sea of people and you're going, four here and two, and you gave me a credit card. I don't even remember what you got. I mean,
it is the bartender.
It's hard.
When you're making the Manhattans and the old fashions and stuff. I mean, but then when you get somebody who's like, I'll have a grasshopper. You're like, oh, crap.
I got to go get the book.
I'm busy. Now I got to get a grass. I got a grasshopper together. Oh, great.
Have you seen the stress tests in Bar Rescue where we packed the place? We did a little shift this season, which people really have fun with. I used to, in the old format of the show, we would do recon the first night, right?
Right. Mm-hmm.
Then the second night, we train for the day, and then we do the stress test. So this year, they sort of see us coming a little bit. They got me made a little. So I'm sitting outside a bar, my SUV, watching in the monitor, and I arranged it. 200 customers walk through the front door of this bar before I've even gotten there. So we changed the stress test to night one, and they don't even know it. So now the place is packed. They're not staffed for it. They're not ready for it. The darn thing falls apart. It crashes and burns. And in the middle of the crash and burn, who walks through the front door? Me.
Bar Rescue.
And with of a course, light behind him.
And a cape.
And, of course, the owner says, and I won't repeat the word. And they're sort of caught with their pants down. So we're making these little twists this year because we've gotten a little predictable on them, and it's made a lot of fun.
No, that's great. I'm glad you're doing that. Now you're an executive producer on the show, too, so you can actually help out with, the direction of the show. That's awesome.
Well, I was co-executive producer from the beginning, you know, and that was really important to me because there's not one word of Bar Rescue that's scripted. You know, it's all absolutely
real.
That's
great.
You know, we're there for 5 days to shoot. We show the 5 days. We shoot in real time. We edit it in real time, and that's what I'm most proud of, is it is absolutely real in every way.
Now, this event that you have in Vegas, John Taffer's On the Rocks, an unforgettable 3-day event.
Oh, adult God, spring dude. Break, Frank.
Love it.
It really is.
I am messing around, brother.
July 12th, 13th, and 14th.
Yeah, it says offers a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to experience the best of Las Vegas. Guests will have unprecedented access to the city's hottest nightclubs, day club pools, and exclusive events. It says parties at more than 25 of Vegas' top nightlife venues. Cool off at 8 of the hottest pools in Vegas, and they get a stay at the Palms Luxury Resort and Hotel. That's where, like, home base is.
That sounds awesome. How do people
go to Las Vegas? Go to ontherockslasvegas.com.
Okay.
You get a wristband. It's really inexpensive. You get a wristband, and then you get to enter all these venues. Marquee, Tao, Excess, Hakkasan, the brand new nightclubs, Pure. Everything. You get to enter them and then 8 pool parties. I'm calling it an adult spring break.
Love it.
And 3 days in Vegas. And you know, typically to walk into one of these clubs can be very expensive at the door.
Mm-hmm.
So cover charges.
And time consuming.
And very time consuming. So you walk right in. Some of the clubs are opening early for us to get our people in early and to accommodate us. And we have the best DJs in the world. Tiesto, Vice, I mean, some of the Little John, the best DJs in the world.
And I imagine you're very well taken care of when you... Going to bars in Vegas. It's like, right this way, sir.
I am. And
anything
I live there.
You want, sir. Yeah.
And I live there.
Oh, you do?
I do.
Okay, cool.
July 12th through the 14th, On the Rocks. What did you say? The web address again, On the Rocks?
OnTheRocksLasVegas.com.
OnTheRocksLasVegas.com. July 12th to the 14th. That is going to be one hell of a weekend. It's adult spring break, or it's just the fantasy weekend. I mean, to be able to hit all these spots, places that you
could never
not even get into.
And hit them all in one weekend.
And hit them all in one weekend. And all the pool parties, the 8 pool day pools. Oh, my God.
Look at your eyes light up.
I mean, seriously.
You there, Frank?
Dude, I want to come. Seriously.
I got a ticket in a room with your name on it.
Oh, no.
I do.
I'm there.
Oh, my God. So that'll pretty much be the end of the Heidi and Frank show.
What am I getting myself into, Heidi?
You have no idea. Seriously, join us. This is going to be awesome. I'm so excited.
Great.
Actually, I do have 3 pairs of tickets, I guess, or wristbands to give away for this. Thank you for giving us that. John Taffer's On the Rocks, Las Vegas, July 12th to the 14th. All access, 3-day passes. I have 3 pairs to give away today. Thank you so much for coming in. You also have a book coming out, Raise the Bar.
October 8th.
Action-based method of maximum customer reactions. So, you are a busy man, but all the success to you, dude.
Oh, and congratulations to you guys on all your success as well.
You know,
it's fun to be able to listen to you around the country now.
Thank you.
No, it's great.
You.
Come back to 95.5KLOS.com every day to hear more clips like these. And to get the entire Heidi and Frank show, go to HeidiandFrank.com and become a premium member. All access, people. On demand. Webcast. Behind the scenes. Too much to name right here. Go to HeidiandFrank.com. Check it out.